I have to say, our next guest, for me, this is the ultimate, right? We've been talking about the Lakers all year long. We've had him on for quite some time as the Lakers were trying to, you know, get back to the top, because this has been a journey, at least for us Lakers fans. I know Chris gives me a hard time about this because it's only been 10 years since the last time they won a title. And as a Bulls fan, you know, he has been waiting a little bit longer. But yeah. Either way, our next guest, Chris McGee, Spectrum Sportsnet LA, joins us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. Chris, thank you for giving us your time. How are you doing today?
CG, Chris, I'm doing great. And let me just start by saying this. Chris has a great point. We are so spoiled here. Do not think that I don't agree with you. Yes, I am very spoiled. It's been a long road. 10 years is an eternity for us.
Yes, 10 years is quite some time for most Laker fans.
And, oh yeah,
Chris, I think the biggest question that lies ahead for the Lakers, after we get through the joy of a celebration, is what happens with Anthony Davis? Because it gets lost a little bit because of the journey that the Lakers had to take in order to get to this championship. You had a 3-month hiatus because of COVID-19. They come back, they go to a bubble, and they pretty much, if you really look at it, they blow through the playoffs. They win every series in 5 with the exception of this last one in 6. Now the attention turns to Anthony Davis. How do you think, is there anything being said? How do you think this turns out for the Lakers in terms of Anthony Davis?
I mean, I've never even talked about it. Recently people have brought it up, but on air we haven't. Where else would he go?
Right.
For me, he was, you know, this is where he wanted to be. So whether he picks up his option or declines it and goes for a different deal, I mean, I don't know if it's a 1-1 or a 4. Like, I have no idea what Anthony Davis is thinking. He's done a good job of not talking about it, and rightfully so. I think it just adds to everyone's narratives and distractions. So what's the point, right? He came here to win a title, and they've done that. I would just – let's just say this. I would be more shocked if he left than anything that's ever happened in my profession in the last 15 years that I've been a part of, or 20 years. Like, I'm that confident that that he's a Laker. I just don't know where else, if I look on the paper, like, where would he go? I'm just curious to what people would, like, why would he go somewhere? Like, and play with who? If you're playing with one of your best friends, LeBron, and you just want a title. So, I don't know. That's just me.
Probably right. Chris McGee, Spectrum Sportsnet LA, joins us after the Lakers win their 17th championship. And, Chris, I want to talk about LeBron James a little bit, because I don't think I've ever seen an athlete that has been built up more to be torn down more by the sporting public out there. And it just amazes me that, you know, this guy wins again and does it in dominating fashion, and he's the reason that they won this thing. Everybody knows that. And then it's so interesting to me, the day after they win the title, it's like, here come the LeBron versus Michael Jordan comparisons, just so they can tear him down and say he's not as good as Michael Jordan. I don't know what LeBron James has to do to get everybody to realize that this is one of the greatest athletes of our time.
Yeah, Chris, it's tough, but we live in that day and age, man. It's been hard for me to go through all that stuff over the years too, just listening, and we just have so much more access now for people to have a voice, and for, you know, clickbait and stories. Excuse me, but for me, it keeps coming down to this: people that are fans of other teams and just true fans. It's really, really hard for them, right? Because you want to hate, and he doesn't play for you. And you'll never really truly understand the greatness. And if you can look at it subjectively, there's literally no way you could give a basketball argument, a good one, that doesn't have him at the table with MJ, Kareem, and Kobe. I don't know how you could even make a compelling, solid basketball argument. I have not heard one, just people who want to hate. So, you know, LeBron kind of said it to Kyrie or whomever he was talking to at the end there when he accepted that trophy, and he went through the list of people that deserve respect, and he said, and I deserve some damn respect. Like, your guys are going to be bummed. You guys are going to be bummed when he's gone, man, because you're going to, just like Kobe, the people who hated Kobe, now that he's really gone, as sad as that is, it bumps people out. And listen, I had to deal with it, too, when I was a kid growing up. I hated Larry Bird. He was playing against my Lakers every year. I was a Magic guy. But as I got older, man, did I learn to love and respect who Larry was as a player.
Yeah.
Right? It's the same with Tom Brady. He's never played for my team. But I can't say he's not the GOAT. Come on.
Yeah. That is the hardest part for people to swallow. I listen, as a Kobe guy, like my entire teenage adult life, it was hard to me to come to that. But eventually, if you, as you said, if you have some perspective, if you can look at it from the other side of the coin, there's not even an argument that you can make that doesn't put LeBron James at the table. As you said, I want to switch. Yeah, I want to switch gears a little bit, Geeter, because
I was going to say, Tony, for real though, like honestly, like here's the thing, it's you'll never really know, right? Because everything is generational, and it was different rules under different guys. But that's right. The thing; they're the most right. unique players in history. They're the best at what they do ever at their position, and set a standard. So for me, they're at the table. I had to say that. Sorry.
No, they're definitely at the table. Geeter, Frank Vogel, he comes in, and it appears from the outside looking in that he gets the job because, you know, there are two other coaches. They can't come to agreement with him. They all slide by the wayside. But if you watch this Laker team, as good as they were offensively, defensively, it seems like that is the thing that changed most for this Laker squad. How much credit should Frank Vogel be getting in this run that the Lakers had this year?
I think it's twofold. I think the personnel that they have on the team is why they're so good defensively. You literally have the best player in the league on defense on your team. And you have a three-time best defensive player, maybe one of the top five all-time in Dwight Howard, on your team. You have Rondo, LeBron. So you have all these defensive guys, Danny Green. Yes, Frank Vogel deserves a ton of credit, and so do the players for buying in. I've been really impressed with Frank. I always think of Pete Carroll because I was working doing some stuff for SC when Pete was an afterthought and he ended up getting the job. And look what happened. He won titles there and the Super Bowl with Seattle. But no one really cared about Pete at that moment. Frank Vogel was in Orlando and nobody cared. He got fired. Frank's a great basketball coach. Every player I talked to when he came in said, man, I love Frank. And you know what? His attention to detail is awesome. He's classy. He's not an eye guy that needs to have credit. Never once did he ask for it. His staff was phenomenal. They were all on the same page. But where I give Frank the most credit, and I think it flew under the radar a little bit, was every single series, Portland, Houston, Denver, Miami. After a loss, Frank Vogel was able to pivot and change and make an adjustment. And yes, you need personnel to do that. Obviously, can't do it with every team, but you also have to have the stones to do it and the know-how to do it and the respect from your guys to do it, and Frank has it. That's where he deserves a ton of credit, for sure.
Chris McGee, Spectrum Sportsnet LA, where the Lakers are celebrating a 17th NBA title. Chris, I know there was a big party in Los Angeles. Maybe it got a little bit out of hand the other night in the city when they won the championship. But a couple of things about the whole coronavirus pandemic. How is this going to be remembered in terms of what the Lakers themselves had to go through in this bubble? I imagine eventually the stories are going to come out just how difficult this entire journey was for them inside the bubble, number one. Number two, how is the city of L.A. going to be able to celebrate this championship in some sort of official way, or are there any plans to do so?
I'll answer the second question first. I'm sure they're going to do something, but all these guys just got back from being away from their families for like 92 days or something. So I wouldn't bet on it being anytime soon. I think they kind of figure out what's the safest way to do it. We have not heard anything yet, so I don't have any information. I know there's going to be something that we'll cover on TV. I just can't. I wish I could give you guys an answer because I think we're all kind of waiting to hear. But the Lakers are smart. They're going to go about it correctly. They're going to hear from all sides, see what's safe, and go for it. That first question is a really good question, Chris, because I think I think other fan bases or teams that maybe didn't do well, this title, they'll say it doesn't mean much because I think that makes them feel better. But I think anyone in basketball or anyone that's ever competed at a high level or anyone that follows the sport, it's a really tough title to win. It's not the toughest. I'm not going to say that because every title is tough and every journey is its own experience. But I will say this, mentally tough, this one might be the hardest. It's the most unique by far.
Yeah.
Being away from your family, having to play every other day, all the stuff going on in our world and in our country, not an easy time. Taking 4 months off, not an easy time. The whole, it might be an asterisk kind of argument. That one doesn't hold any water for me because, yeah, put an asterisk there because they're the first team to ever win without having a freaking home game in the NBA. They didn't even have fans. You earn the number one seed. You never get to play at Staples. There's no advantage in that. Actually, advantage to the other team.
Yeah.
So, for me, to answer your question, man, I think the city of Los Angeles, for what they've been through in terms of Kobe Bryant, the global pandemic, all of it, it's special because you really had to go through some adversity, a lot of outside noise, a lot of uncertainty. And listen, man, 17-win season, 19-win seasons, 21-win seasons. And, Chris, I know you get it, man, because there will be a day where the Bulls are on top once again, hopefully, for you guys. And you'll see it.
Oh,
right?
I thought when you said 19-win season, you were talking about the Bulls again.
Well, unfortunately, we had a couple of those, and I was the first face that you would see after those games. So, like, it's with all that combined, man, it's a special, to answer your question, it's a real special title. It really is. It just has a different meaning than the rest of them.
One more for me, Geeter. Along those same lines, Jeannie Buss, this is her first title at the helm, at the head of this organization. How special do you think this one is for her? Because she's been through a lot. I mean, she had to fire her brother, which I'm sure couldn't have been easy at all. And a few years later, her team, the organization, is hoisting up another trophy. How do you think this one sits for her?
Well, I'm glad you mention that, because I think when you make decisions and you're sitting at the top, like you said, they're not always going to be popular. They're not always going to be easy. It might even hurt people you love. You add the loss of Kobe Bryant in there, who she was extremely close with and considered family. Just all of it, right? To finally be at the top, and then a global pandemic hits, and you don't even know if you're going to have a season. I think all of that combined for her to win a title in honor of her father, and I can't imagine the emotions she feels. She is the biggest Laker fan of all of us, and I think this one will always be at the top for her because of all the circumstances, because it's the first one, and because of what her father meant to her, what Kobe meant to her, and what this team means to her. No doubt about it, without speaking for her, it has to rank at the top.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Chris, certainly appreciate the time. Enjoy this championship. You were the first people, you were among the first people that people tuned into over the course of, I don't know, since the last title. And it's been some tough sledding, but finally Lakers back on top. Congratulations to you and the rest of the cast and crew. And thank you for giving us some time today, Geeter.
Oh, I love it, man. Thanks so much, guys, for having me. You're the best.
Congrats, Chris.
All right, take care.
See you later, guys.
Chris McGee, Spectrum Sports Net LA, joining us there on the SDCCU Fan, SDCCU Online, and mobile banking lets you do your banking from your smartphone. Message and data rates may apply. For details, visit SDCCU.com.